In the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus says, "Come, play with me in the kingdom of heaven and you will rest." I know that's not exactly what he said. It's a bit of an interpretation. And we only have a snippet of the whole. You know, we only get parts when we're in worship. But Jesus is telling the crowds, telling the disciples, telling you and me of this generation, come and witness the kingdom of heaven. And one of the ways that he helps us to think about the kingdom of heaven in our reading for today, in his sermon for today, is that he points to kids who are playing in the street. Not just playing randomly out in the street, but they're playing games out in the marketplace. They're running around playing flutes and calling to each other. This is the image of the kingdom of heaven that he wants us to have. But we only get a snippet. We only get a part. So we're not quite sure exactly what he is talking about. So we would flip back to the very beginning of chapter 11, and we would find out that our brother John has been arrested. So just to get ourselves all on the same page, John is that John. You know, the one who wears the camel fur and eats the bugs? That John. The John who stands out on the river's edge of the River Jordan and calls us to new life? That John. The same John who, yes, he calls us a brood of vipers, but he also says, come, receive repentance and forgiveness through these waters. And we came. We left our homes, we left our towns, we left our villages, we left the hillside, we left our animals behind, our daily lives, we left all of it and we went rushing through the wilderness. The wilderness which represents the chaos of our daily lives. We went running and we gathered there at the river's edge, the River Jordan, and we were baptized into this new life and we were bound to Christ through these waters. That John. John has been arrested. Because as it turns out, if we have the opportunity to read the Gospel of Matthew, we could get a much broader story than what I can tell you now. But in essence, King Herod has an inferiority complex. He struggles with others who are able to draw up crowds when he can't necessarily do it. People who are able to use their words or use their presence in some sort of way that people come and they listen. And now John has influence and people are listening to him and John has authority. And people are following him, and John has prestige of some sense, even though he is a prophet. People are learning about the kingdom of heaven. They're beginning to follow John. They're becoming enamored by John, and King Herod can't stand it. So King Herod has John arrested, which in essence silences John. So at the beginning of chapter 11, we find out that John has been arrested, and those of us who may know the story of John the Baptist, we know how this ends. It does not end well for him. But for now, he's just in prison, and his disciples, his followers, have started hearing about Jesus. Jesus is doing incredible things. He's healing the sick. He's casting out demons. He's giving sight to the blind. He's doing remarkable works, and they want to know more about that. So they wander off to Jesus, and they go to him with, in essence, one question. They come up to Jesus and they say, Jesus, we know you've done some great things. We've been reading it in our tablets. We can see it in LinkedIn. Facebook's got some awesome posts. You're doing great stuff, Jesus. From what we can tell, we haven't been here directly, but it sounds really good. But here's the thing, Jesus. Are you the one? Or are you going to be like John? You're just going to be arrested and all that God is doing is going to come to an end. Are you the one, Jesus, who is bringing about the kingdom of heaven, or do we need to just wait for one more prophet to come into this generation? And Jesus says, tell John that those who are blind will see, and those who are sick will be healed, and those who have demons will be set free. I am here bringing about the kingdom of heaven into this world. Tell John, tell your people that I am the Son of Humanity. I am bringing good news. And they wander off. Then Jesus turns on the crowds, because in Matthew there are always crowds. There's always people milling about listening to Jesus, are always in earshot. And of course the disciples are always there. He turns to the crowds and he kind of turns on the crowds, because he can read on their faces the way he might read on our face on a given morning or afternoon where we're being called into something in our relationship with God and we don't really want to go, because we just found out that John, that guy who could pull people out of their daily lives into water that we don't understand so that we could be baptized and we could be made new, that John is now in a dungeon cell in the bottom of a palace where no one can hear him again. The powers of this world have silenced another one of God's people, and we don't want to go there. We don't want that risk. We don't want that struggle. We don't want to have to surrender all of that about ourselves. We don't want to have to carry that cross. So Jesus sees the crowds, and he can see the disciples, and our faces are getting long, and we're getting a little hesitant. We're starting to push back just a little bit. And he invites us to follow him into the kingdom of heaven, which is unfolding in our midst. And one of the illustrations that he uses, and we're going to read as we continue on through this summer in the Gospel of Matthew, God has incredible creativity, and there's a remarkable amount of illustrations and examples and parables that God uses to help us envision the kingdom of heaven and our call in it. But in our reading for today, Jesus uses children playing. You know, like the kids who play at Mellander Park, the kids who are down at Delahaye, the kiddos who ride their bikes and their scooters up and down Ogle, the kiddos who play in the grass out in front of the Doyles, the kids who come here and eat a lunch, and then they play and run around the trees in our overgrown park out here. Kids playing is the illustration that he wants us to have when we think about our call and how we are meant to walk as God's people and we are meant to unfold this kingdom as a representation of Christ. Kids playing. So we picture kids playing. And what do? Sometimes they go full bore, 1,000 miles an hour, and they're covered in sweat, but they are full of joy and excitement and anticipation. And whatever they're doing captivates them to such a point that there is nothing else in the world that matters but this one game. Jesus talks about games. They don't sound like games to you and me because they're not the games we play. But in Jesus' time, they were games. Kids would run around the marketplace and they would play a flute or some musical instrument, and there would be an assumption that if you heard that music in the midst of whatever you're doing, you would, you know, dance. You would move. Or if you're incredibly introverted like myself, maybe you would just sway back and forth very quietly and subtly and don't let anybody know you're doing it, but the music would grab you somehow. Or, like kids often do, there were games where they would emulate adults. And funerals in that time were processions. You would go down the street with the funeral pall. And kids would do that. They would emulate that. They would go down the street and they would call people out to come join their funeral procession. So when they call on us to wail, we are called to mourn. And when they play the flute, we are called to dance. And when John and Jesus call us into the kingdom of heaven, Jesus says, "You heard us playing the flutes. You heard us calling, playing in the street. And you didn't come." Jesus confronts our sin with an image of kids playing. Like this last week, Wednesday and Thursday, Mr. Besky, who's the junior high band director, he came and showed off a whole bunch of instruments to our lunch program. Apparently, band directors just have musical instruments in the back of their car at all times. That's what he told me. I pulled these out of my trunk, and there was a trumpet and a trombone and a bunch of other instruments, and he pulled them all, and he laid them all out, and then he played them all. All of them. He played them. And then he even took it a step further. And I mean, it was really kind of cool, especially when he started playing Christmas music. When it's 90 degrees and 80% humidity, it was beautiful. And we were really getting into it. And then he started handing the instruments out to kids and had them try to play, you know, make the duck sounds or make the, well, the sounds that maybe aren't appropriate to talk about in a worship service. But, you know, when you purse your lips, the sound you can make. He encouraged us to do that, and it sounded awesome. And we were totally into it. And even a couple of kids got up and played with him. He played music and we danced. Sometimes when we come into the space, we're not in the mood to dance, but we are calling on people to stand with us when we are crying out, when we are mourning, when we are saddened, when we have been brought down by the powers of this world that are moving against us, and we just want someone to stand and mourn with us. Jesus is calling us into the kingdom to play with each other. And when we play, we will find rest. The rest that you and I may be thinking of is the rest that I'm going to be looking forward to later on this afternoon, where I'm going to be on a couch propped up and maybe even asleep if I'm lucky. The rest that Jesus is talking about is a holy rest. It's the Sabbath rest that has gathered us here this morning. The Sabbath rest that God took on the last day of creation that we read about in chapter 2 of Genesis. Or the third commandment of the Ten Commandments. Don't worry, we break all 10 of them anyway. But that third one is keep the Sabbath day holy, where we gather into God's presence and God rejuvenates us and God makes us new and we are resurrected through these waters and through this meal. We are made people of God again, and then God sends us out with a reckless abandon full of joy and anticipation that we are going to see God at work in this world despite all the powers of this world that will try to silence us and keep us at bay, and all the divisions and all the barriers that will try to keep us from being in community. Because we have joy, brothers and sisters. That may not be the word we always use, but we have joy because we know that we are forgiven. We have joy because we have felt love through each other in these pews. We have joy because we have this good news buried within us, and all we have to do is give it away. So Jesus invites us. Through our holy Sabbath rest this morning, he invites us, even when we hesitate, he invites us that when we're not quite sure what we could possibly accomplish, when people like John are being arrested all the time, Jesus says, look at the kids who are playing and how much fun and joy and exuberance that they have, and they just keep going. So let's go and play in the kingdom of heaven, and we will find rest in God's presence. Jesus is sending us out because we only have one sermon to give. The kingdom of heaven is here. It's in this place. The kingdom of heaven is here. It's in this town. The kingdom of heaven is here. It's in this generation and in this time that we are called to reveal and release into our community. Amen.